It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Super Bowl 57 is fast approaching, and we looked at the quarterback position on Tuesday. We go over to the top two running backs here, though there are certainly more guys at the running back spot relevant beyond just Miles Sanders and Isaiah Pacheco. And we'll, of course, have plenty of time to break into all of these player props. That's what you'll see a lot next week on the show, no doubt. But DRS, when you look at some of the Miles Sanders numbers that are out there already listed, again, for the big game between the Eagles and the Kansas City Chiefs, what was one number that really caught your attention?
One of them did catch my attention too, Kevin, because I think when you look at the Philadelphia Eagles now, it used to be always, hey, Jalen Hurts is going to get his on a rushing touchdown, or Jalen Hurts is probably going to throw at least two touchdowns because of how much talent they have at tight end and wide receiver. It sort of leaves some of the background guys, like a Miles Sanders, who is your starting running back, as I call a background piece of that offense, Kenneth Gainwell and Boston Scott, almost in that mix, like ride the hot hand, use Miles Sanders early, but you see a lot of Gainwell and Boston Scott in the second half. But the one thing I do like here is I do think the Eagles will have sustained success in the Super Bowl while rushing the ball, but also the ability to break out a big play. If we're looking at the longest rush prop for Miles Sanders, it's coming in at the FanDuel Sportsbook at 13.5. If we take a look at the last couple of games, because I preface it by saying this, I just need to be in it to win it. I can't have, well, Donnie, hey, five straight games of his longest rush, 8 yards or less. Obviously, you're not going to look that way. Take a look at some of the games that he played. 13 for the longest rush against San Francisco, which would lose, but it's right on the edge. 18 against the Giants in the playoffs. That would cash in a ticket. Last game of the regular season against the Giants, where they were sort of milking the clock, no scheduled runs for Jalen Hurts. He only had a long rush of 6. But before that, Kevin, 14, 13, 18, and 40. The chance for Miles Sanders rested and ready for the Super Bowl, where I do think they have success on the ground. I think he gets over 13.5 as his longest rush here.
He certainly is an explosive back. That Eagles backfield is so interesting because Miles is the unquestioned starting running back.
Yes.
And that was the big change this year for Miles Sanders, right? 1,200 yards on the ground, 11 touchdowns. This was Miles Sanders' backfield. And against the Giants, 17 carries for 90 yards. It led the way in terms of attempts. Then against the Niners, he was into the end zone twice. But the workload is very interesting to go through there. Both Kenneth Gainwell and Boston Scott with available props already out for this game. Gainwell checking in at a 16.5 for yards. Boston Scott checks in at a 10.5. To flip this over to the Kansas City Chiefs running back and Isaiah Pacheco, there was a number that caught my attention a little bit going into the Cincinnati game, though I ultimately backed off and immediately felt foolish. It was Isaiah Pacheco's receiving yards. He caught a pass for 18 yards on the, I think, opening drive of the game, or at least it was for double-digit yards. And I was like, man,
yes,
that's a shame that I didn't get myself involved. He finished that game with 5 catches for 59 yards on 6 targets. I don't know how many people were aware of what Isaiah Pacheco's receiving yards prop was, Donnie, against the Cincinnati Bengals. It was 6.5 yards. And he ended up going for 59 yards. And now that number is 14.5. And this is why this number to me is so interesting. Rarely, if ever, do you see a prop doubled week to week. You don't do that. You can't move a number that drastically. But rarely is a prop as wrong as the Isaiah Pacheco prop was in that game against the Cincinnati Bengals. How many people are going to see 14.5 and think he just had 59? I have to blast the over on this number. As our radio audience enters the fold here on a Thursday morning, the early line on SiriusXM channel 159. What do you make of that Isaiah Pacheco number as you look at it?
Here's the interesting part about it, too, because you talk about running back props always in play, even in the passing game for the Kansas City Chiefs. What is the Kansas City Chiefs and Andy Reid known for? Particularly, just let's just go Andy Reid, the king of the screen game here. And if you're looking at the Philadelphia Eagles, who, again, don't blitz a lot, but you saw the San Francisco 49ers match up against them repeatedly throwing screen passes. Now, granted, late in the game, that's really all the options that they had. But if you have a devastating pass rush, you let the pass rush come in, you slide the offensive lineman out of the backfield, you dump the pass over to the defensive lineman, and you pick on those linebackers that the Eagles have. I actually look at Pacheco, 14.5, and also Jerick McKinnon at 22.5 as live looks. And also, Kevin, forget about the screen game itself. How many times have I broken this scenario down? It's pretty simple. A devastating pass rush gets to the quarterback. What's the easiest throw for a quarterback to make? Tight end 5 yards over the middle and a running back in the flat here. It just makes some sense. If I'm looking at running back props from a Chiefs position, it probably would be pass yards at this point.
The issue for me is just an untrustworthy workload. Before that game against Cincinnati, targets for Pacheco, 1-0-2-2-1-3-2-1. This was all Jerick McKinnon's work, who then all of a sudden lost that work. Jerick McKinnon targeted 4 times and caught only 2 of those in the game against Cincinnati. He wasn't targeted against Jacksonville. So a part of me wonders, is it buy low on Jerick McKinnon? Has Pacheco completely taken over the workload? Those are the kind of things that we're just trying to set up here a little bit early on, because that both of these backfields, while clearly Pacheco's the leading runner and clearly Miles Sanders is the leading runner for the Philadelphia Eagles, they are not alone. These are not solo situations. This is not Derrick Henry. This is not Christian McCaffrey. These are guys that have important counterparts in the backfield alongside them, which makes those guys' numbers interesting, but can make the top dogs a little tricky to figure out where you line it up. We got a lot of basketball coming here in hour number 2. We start with the college game, small school highlight here on a Thursday.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Tonight's college basketball features a number of ranked teams, but not your typical powerhouses. We don't have Kansas. We don't have Duke. We don't have the usuals here. We've got Florida Atlantic. We've got your St. Mary's, who is climbing the ladder. We've got Gonzaga and Houston, and sure, you're accustomed to them, but this is a spot to look at teams outside of the power conferences. And we'll begin with this game of UAB and Florida Atlantic here, with a classic college basketball line. A slight favorite for UAB. Of course, that means they are home for this basketball game. FAU so far in conference play, Donnie, perfect straight up. Is this going to be their first loss?
I mean, it's pretty crazy how you take a look at college basketball. And the only thing you can actually factor in is, do they just take like a bus for 16 straight hours and have to get off the bus and play an away game? Is that the way it works across the country? Because that's the way it feels here with every one of these teams in their home gyms having a big advantage. Because you line this game up, you say to yourself, okay, FAU, 20-game win streak, unbeaten in conference play. Now, I preface this by saying I do understand UAB played them within a bucket last time at FAU. I get that here. But you look at it and you go, okay, how many points is UAB getting? 3.5, 4.5, 5.5. Now, they're the favorite in this basketball game. Once again, a team that has not lost in conference play on a current 20-game unbeaten streak that just has to win the game or, quite frankly, can lose the game by a point and still get a cover here against UAB. But breaking the game down overall, FAU's offense in conference play efficiency rating, Kevin, number 1. UAB's offense, number 2. You line up the defenses, comparable as well. I do think this game does come down to the 3-point line. Now, if we're taking a look at tempo in the game, UAB is going to bring the tempo, so maybe a total might work a little bit better in your favor. But if you're looking at 3-point shooting, not a great 3-point shooting team here for FAU, Kevin. Only about 34%, which is 8th in conference play, but they're number 1 at shot attempts here. 47% of their total shots, Kevin, come from behind the three-point arc. And UAB defense, not great at defending. If we got a team that plays with a lot of tempo like UAB, we might be looking at points in this game. It's just up to FAU to fill up the bucket here with three-point shots and see if he can get it done. But once again, bet a team on the road here at your own peril, because that hasn't been working with 2022-2023 options.
Yeah, it has, again, been very, very incredible to watch. UAB, just quickly a note here, second best over team in college basketball this season. So we'll see how that applies. We then move it over to Wichita State and Houston. Now, this is kind of where you start to see the gap check in. Houston is on the road. They're a big favorite, though. They're laying double digit here against the Shockers. And this is a 131.5 number that, as always, speaks to Houston being a great defensive basketball team. What do you see here when you line it up with the Cougars making a road trip here against Wichita State?
Yeah, taking a look at that total here first, that sticks out 130.5. You slap UVA somewhere in this game. Kevin's all about it. Going, this game's going to fly over. But maybe not the case in this one, because as we take a look at these two basketball teams, Kevin, tempo-wise, both slow and slow. So this is going to be a knockdown, drag-out fight. Now, it's always interesting to me that usually when you hear slow, it's like, hey, very methodical on offense, try to find the open shot. Houston, in conference play, number one just about across the board on offense. Efficiency, effective field goal percentage, don't turn the basketball over, fantastic rebounders. And, oh, yeah, on top of that, Kevin, the best three-point shooting team in conference play. That's where this game is probably going to be won. If you look at Houston on offense in conference, about 38% as a team. Don't rely on the three-point shot volume-wise, but also Wichita State's defense at defending, Kevin, the three-point line, is 10th in conference play. Houston's defense certainly can stretch you as well. They don't give up much here. So if I'm looking from a total perspective, the 130.5, this screams like Houston probably will get into the 60s, but where does Wichita actually line up? If I'm lining this game, defense always travels. Will Houston probably win this game? Yes, but forget about the side. I might be interested more in a Wichita State team total to the under here, figuring Houston's certainly going to be hungry, and the tempo doesn't support a lot of get up and down the court sets, a lot of half court sets, not full court motion here.
Which, again, you expect from Houston, though, their ability to clamp down.
Yeah.
We have seen the American give out some overs all in all, but you got to try and factor in the spot. Might not be a good spot for one here. We then get over to, of course, the kings of the outside of the Power 5 schools. And I don't care if Houston is the favorite to win the national championship. Gonzaga is still going to hold that crown to me until Houston actually goes out there and is able to do what Gonzaga has not been able to do. A down year, though, for the Bulldogs, as they are just number 12 in college basketball. They are, though, a legitimate favorite of 13.5 against Santa Clara. Big time total, 159.5.
159.5, and rightfully so there, Kevin. That's the way I'm looking here. Offense, offense, and more offense. Both of these teams are going to play with tempo. If you take out the Loyola Marymount game, which they lost 68-67 at home, look at some of these other scores here in the past, 2 weeks. 115 points they put up against Portland, 99 against Pacific, 82 against Portland, easily winning those games. They're home again, and again, as I say that, the last time they were home, they actually lost. I look for a pretty good effort here out of Gonzaga, but also, more importantly, if you're looking at that 159.5, it's not going to get there unless Gonzaga absolutely runs it up the flagpole. So if I'm looking at this game, forget about the 159.5. Just take Gonzaga's team total to the over. That's the team that's going to be pushing the pace of play. That's the team that you need to get probably into the 80s in order to cash in that ticket, if not higher. Maybe one. I don't have it up on my screen. If you have it there, Kevin, are we looking at one of those Toledo-type 90s to 92.5s as a team total? What do we have here?
I'm basically just trying to do the math myself. I think you're ballparking like 86.5 probably for that Gonzaga number, between that range, 85.5, 86.5 DRS. Would that?
Yeah, it's not up yet.
Does that sound too strong? Yeah, the number isn't up yet, but does that sound too
strong? They have to get that.
If
Gonzaga doesn't get their team total, this game is not going over. I don't think there's going to be an upset from Santa Clara where they're in the 90s here carrying the weight for the game. It's going to have to come from Gonzaga's side. That's the way I would look at this game.
And by the way, so far, Santa Clara's played 4 road games. All 4 have gone over the listed total.
Hey.
We then close it out with St. Mary's and San Francisco. St. Mary's is having themselves a tremendous little season here. And in fact, St. Mary's is 7th on KenPom compared to Gonzaga's 17th. Again, I know KenPom, not the end-all, be-all for everybody, but when was the last time Gonzaga was not the number one team in the WCC on KenPom? I certainly don't remember seeing it. It speaks to the nature of St. Mary's this year. The Dons, though, usually competitive in this conference. This spread, though, doesn't suggest as much. St. Mary's laying a big number.
Yeah, St. Mary's is laying a big number, but also try to take a look at this, too. We always talk about, like, hey, tempo versus tempo. This is going to be tempo versus the ultra slow, and that's always tough because when you take a look at St. Mary's, they are the best team in the conference right now, record-wise, you would say. Let's see how they line up against Gonzaga. But minus 12.5 means you have to be effective every single time up the court. But why not, Kevin? On offense, number two most efficient team, obviously, behind Gonzaga there. Turnover rate, number two. They don't turn the basketball over. A fantastic rebounding team. But that's not even the case I want to bring up here because it is going to be San Francisco's offense and how they can operate against St. Mary's. The one thing we know about St. Mary's, they get a rebound. They're not pushing anything, Kevin. They're walking it up the court, which means less possessions and chances to score for San Francisco. St. Mary's defense and conference play, number one by a wide margin here. And that also includes the second best team at defending the three-point line and the number one team at defending inside the arc and a team also, Kevin, that doesn't foul that much. If we're looking from a game perspective, forget about the side in this one. I'm actually looking towards the under and also a team total under for San Francisco. This game will slow down and be played to the dictating tempo of St. Mary's, not the San Francisco.
Gotcha. And again, right now, the spread for that one, 12.5 St. Mary's, the total 131.5. The team totals are not up just yet, but that's going to be around 60.5-ish most likely under. For San Francisco. DRS looking towards and under. Huge NBA slate. We continue with the basketball breakdowns on the other side of a quick commercial break right here on SportsGrid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The NBA offering up a full slate here on a Thursday, and there are a lot of really fun games for us to crack into. The three best games on the slate, I think, would likely be seen as Cavs, Grizzlies, Nuggets, Warriors, and Bucks, Clippers, though that's all depending who's going to be in, who's going to be out. We're going to hit those games in our upcoming segment and not just talk about those three games for tonight, but how those six teams stack up in the NBA Finals odds race right now. We begin, though, with the breakdown of LeBron James' race towards history, becoming the all-time leading scorer. Not going to happen tonight unless he ends up becoming the second player in NBA history to score 100 points. Wouldn't bank on it. But the Lakers are road favorites here against the Indiana Pacers. The spread for this one is 2.5 here. Big-time total, 240. One thing that I thought was noteworthy, the Lakers so far are 2-0 against the spread as a road favorite. And that's not noteworthy to me to say, hey, look, the Lakers are 100% hit rate when they're a road favorite. It's that this is only the third time this year. It shows that for as much as people think the Lakers are overrated, the books have not put this team as a favorite in situations that they're not supposed to be. Last year, this was a 4-9 team against the spread as a road favorite, happening 13 times. The Lakers have rarely been in this spot, though, Donnie, when they have been, they have cashed in.
Yeah, look at his tempo tonight, too, that we're expecting a 240 here at the FanDuel Sportsbook, and also a slight favorite here for the Los Angeles Lakers. The interesting part about the Lakers season is every single game matters at this point. We'll see how many scheduled losses, as we like to say, the Lakers will take, knowing that they're not even in the playoff race right now if the season ended today. It was a nice win in the Garden that they picked up, but they needed overtime in order to get that. But now let's look at the Indiana Pacers. Why is the game maybe a little bit closer? Well, they've been without Tyrese Halliburton since January 11th, roughly 3.5 weeks. Looks like he might be making his debut back into the NBA tonight. but also from a Lakers perspective, looks like we're going to be full go as well. LeBron James and Anthony Davis expected to be back in, expected to be back in the starting lineup tonight. Now, when we take a look at prop bets for this game, we always sort of gravitate here to LeBron James points because he's going to give you an honest effort. Sitting at 29.5 here, but with Anthony Davis back, maybe you struggle a little bit with that where he just can't go off like he was doing without Anthony Davis. 33 points, 38 points, 40 points. But the one thing, Kevin, that we've settled in, and which included the last game in the Garden, LeBron James player props here for rebounds. It was 7.5 in the Garden at plus 110. He hit that. It's now 8.5 at a plus 108. I think he gets that again. LeBron James has been pounding the glass over the past three and a half weeks here. I think that one comes in here at a nice plus money price.
The assist number for LeBron is actually most interesting to me. Listed at 7.5. Since AD's come back, 11 assists, 8 assists, 11 assists. And the assist totals have been up this month of January. They were the highest that he's had so far this season, averaging over 8 per game. Interestingly enough, neither of us gravitating towards the LeBron points prop there, despite the fact that he's on the race for history. I'm interested in Anthony Davis's rebounds number. I think he starts the game tonight. He had not started any of the first three games back. He did start the second half, though, against the Knicks, and he played 37 minutes in the game. If he gets a full workload, that's relevant. Lastly, good point by you that Tyrese Halliburton is back. The Pacers have lost 10 of their last 11 games, going 2-9 against the spread in those 11. Halliburton got hurt in that first game that started this losing stretch. The 10 games before that with Tyrese Halliburton, they were 8-2. So just Halliburton is that much of a difference maker. An assist prop tonight of 8.5 suggests, though, maybe he's on a minutes restriction there. This is a guy that averages double-digit assists throughout this season. We move it over then to the Garden, where the New York Knicks are a slight home underdog against the Miami Heat. A 214.5 total here. These type of numbers seem to only come out when the Heat take the floor against an Eastern Conference opponent here. Jalen Brunson's been playing some great basketball for the Knicks. He's going to need to have a great game here tonight to take down the Miami Heat, who are just overall playing very, very well.
Is this one of those teams, Kevin, that we take a look at? Because we love props, right? You just talked about a Lakers game at 240 as a prop, or excuse me, as a total, and now we're dropping to a game of 214.5. And you want some recency buys here for the Miami Heat? They played the Cleveland Cavaliers, and I believe that number closed around 210 at that point and easily stayed under that total. So if I'm looking from a points perspective, we're probably not going to get that. And also, the reason why they stay under, Kevin, it's not that the teams are talented. It's just the pace of play and what dictates here of what the Miami Heat do. So even if you say to yourself, I don't like points props, let's go to rebounds and assists, it's the same thing. If you're getting an extra 6, 7, or 8 possessions in a tempo game that you might not get in this one, that's an extra 6, 7, or 8 chances to get an assist or a rebound in a game. Probably going to abstain from this game from a points prop perspective, but it is interesting here as the Miami Heat currently listed as a slight favorite over the New York Knicks in their own building. The Knicks certainly haven't held serve in Madison Square Garden. I'd go with the Miami Heat tonight as that short favorite price.
A prop where you see your point laid out perfectly is Julius Randle's 2.5 made threes being offered up at around plus 110. Just two games ago, heading into the Barclays Center, this number was 2.5 at around minus 170, minus 180. Now, Julius Randle has missed this two games in a row. I don't think that's the only reason it's dropping, though. I think it's also dropping because of the lower total for this game. But you could easily argue that this is a nice buy low point here for Randle, who has missed two in a row. The guy I'm still interested in, though, DRS, Jimmy Butler. You and I will say this until we're blue in the face. Volume, volume, volume. Yeah. Over the last three games, he's averaging 15.7 field goal attempts per game and 11.3 free throw attempts per game, scoring 29, 28, and 23 in these last three. I'm looking to ride the Jimmy Butler volume wave here and go over the 21.5 for his points prop. A game that perhaps then will catch your attention more for some numbers here would be a Dallas Mavericks, New Orleans Pelicans, 223.5. Dallas is a 4.5-point favorite as the Pelicans desperately need a win. The Pels have lost 9 games in a row, one more, and they'll fall under 500.
That's brutal, man. It really is. One of those teams where we are expecting, and also I believe we had Coach James Young on with us, who's one of those teams that you're going to be circling the wagons for, thinking they're going to take that next level step up. It was the Pelicans. But we were rightfully so with the Pelicans here. When healthy, they're a really good team. But obviously missing superstars left and right here, now sitting at 500 on the season and on the road, Kevin, man, 9-17 overall. You take a look at the Dallas Mavericks, who, again, aren't having a great season themselves at 27-25, but still 18-9 at home. And also remind ourselves, Luka Doncic came back after missing a little bit of time, dropped 53 points. My only question in this game, Kevin, is which assistant coach from the Pelicans is going to chirp Luka Doncic into another 50-plus point effort? Because if we're taking a look to see what makes sense and what you're betting here, Luka's points prop, it's 34.5. Nobody looks at that number and goes, hey, I'm going to automatically bet under because we know what he can do. But my goodness, Kevin, you need 35 points in order to cash that ticket in at that point here. The one guy lost with the other night here, it doesn't look like we actually have him up now. CJ McCollum, 20.5. Yeah, Brandon Ingram, I'm not so sure. Let me just check quickly the estimated starting lineups. He's actually in the anticipated starting lineup, but with that injury history recently, don't know if he's going to go. I went for the points prop last time for him at 20.5. He only got 16, but still took 17 shots over 33 minutes. Lost that one. I want to see if his points prop is posted a little bit later and what that would actually be, because I'm just trying to find that happy medium. A guy coming back, buying a little bit low in his points prop, but still getting that volume in minutes. Sooner or later, it's going to click. I'll wait till this afternoon comes up to see if we get on the FanDuel Sportsbook a Brandon Ingram points prop here to see if we can take advantage of that.
It will be interesting. The efficiency has been horrendous since Brandon Ingram has come back. He is on 19 field goal attempts, under 30% from the field, and shooting 5 threes per game at 13% clip right now. Admittedly, though, I'm also wondering what they start to hang these numbers at. Could you get some value on Brandon Ingram? At some point, a player of his talent level has to check in. The Luka points prop of 34.5, I'm drawn to his made threes at 2.5. He was 5-for-11 last game, and that was the most attempts that he had taken in 15 games, Donnie. This is a little more narrative, admittedly, but Luka, after scoring 53 points on the Pistons, was like, yeah, the ankle's not 100%. I wonder if it's just a little easier on that ankle to chuck threes and fire away from beyond range there, as opposed to putting a lot of pressure on it, driving to the basket. It's a number I'm circling along with the over in the basketball game. The Pels are 12-4 to the over as a road underdog. 75%, it's the best in the NBA. The Mavericks are 16-8 to the over as a home favorite. Third best mark in basketball at 66%. Last time these teams met, the Chicago Bulls and the Charlotte Hornets, I didn't let you give a breakdown. I lay out, Donnie, your game of the day, Bulls-Hornets, what do you like?
Let's go, man. Let's get after it here. And again, I had an over prop in that game with DeMar DeRozan. You know what that was, Kevin? 27.5 against Charlotte. You know what he finished out with? 28 points in that game. So you know what they're doing to me again here at the FanDuel Sportsbook? Posting a 27.5 at a -104 rate. We know Charlotte is going to get up and down the court. We know Charlotte's not going to play great defense here. And also, coming off a game where DeMar DeRozan against the Clippers only scored 20 points? Come on now. He's bouncing back with a 30-point effort. DeMar DeRozan, for me, scored 28. Make me look like a genius tonight.
Not bad there. I'm very interested to see some of the LaMelo Ball prices. His triple-double, 7-1, but I want to see what the double-double number checks in at. Had a triple-double last game. He's really started to fill it up even more now in the assist plus rebound category. That prop tonight, 15.5. You're watching that number elevate really game to game to game. As we said, we've got three more games to get to, arguably the three best games on the slate. We tie those into the NBA Finals odds. What's the better bet on the board? We break that down next right here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
What an entertaining hour number two underway as we talk more NBA action. It's Kevin Adani here. It's the Early Line, Sirius XM channel 159. But I do want to get something out of the way, Kevin, that is coming up because you talked a little bit about it. LeBron James crossing the threshold of scoring more points than anybody who's ever scored in NBA history. But I need to take the temperature in the room. From what I'm hearing here, even if it looks like he's going to break this against Oklahoma City, nobody wants to go to that game. Is that true from a Lakers perspective?
No, not at all. Luckily, though, it seems like he's going to break it against Milwaukee, and people will then get to be able to watch a star-studded battle there. But then again, I can't believe you've opted to slander Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and not try
Let
and phrase it where it would be.
Let him shine.
Wouldn't it be, though, an honor for LeBron to break that record on the court as the guy that will eventually then break LeBron's record and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander?
That's the problem the NBA would have. If they put that as their showcase centerpiece game here, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is going to outshine LeBron James, even if he breaks the all-time record. I'm not so sure if a plaque comes out for SGA for dropping 50 or 60 in that game, and we don't even pay attention to LeBron James breaking that overall record. But that's to be decided at a later time, because we got some rules, regulations, and finals to tabulate here. Why? Because the NBA Finals is where our attention will be. Nuggets and Warriors going to get it started tonight. Now, granted, typically before the season, wow, Kevin, Nuggets, Warriors, what is that, a pick'em here? Two of the best teams in the NBA? Not necessarily, as it looks like the Nuggets should be able to pick up an easy victory. But having said that, Kevin, looking forward to the NBA Finals as of right now. The Denver Nuggets at the FanDuel Sportsbook here, a 7-1 price to cut down the Nets. The Warriors at plus 850. Two teams right now seemingly going in different directions here, but similarities in price. Talk about these two teams and the chances, or from your perspective, who can actually win the NBA Finals, and are they good prices?
Yeah, so to me right now, if I'm looking to bet one of these two numbers, I prefer the Golden State Warriors number at plus 850, really for three main reasons. They are the proven team, and it matters in the NBA. It's not, that's not the only thing that matters, but it is a big thing. Who do you trust when you get to the playoffs? And obviously the Warriors have earned that trust. The Warriors last season were not the number one overall seed in the playoffs. They were a team that had to climb as the three seed and have to win a road series against the Memphis Grizzlies. Luckily for them, they always win a road game in every series they play. This has been going on for a very long time now in Golden State, which means that they can overcome lower seeding. And the Warriors, by the way, in this jammed up West, still could climb the seeding ladder and avoid the play-in and maybe even flirt with a fourth seed or something overall. The second point is the fact that it's just a better price right now. And there's going to have to be a clear-cut reason for me to take when these teams, and it's so tight right now, Donnie, the fact that I'm going to get the little extra juice there on the Warriors helps make the decision. And the last piece of it is, I don't trust the Nuggets as true contenders, not because of Nikola Jokic slander, not because I don't like Michael Malone. They don't have a championship-level defense. Their defensive rating right now is 15th in the NBA. For reference, last year, defenses 1 and 2 were in the NBA Finals in the Warriors and the Boston Celtics. This is just not a defensive unit that I trust when we get to the playoffs there. I know they've got an unbelievable offense, the best offensive rating in basketball, but I don't trust Denver enough to take them at a shorter price over the Golden State Warriors.
And one of the few leagues that's priced as what are you going to wind up with, Kevin, as opposed to what you have now, because the Warriors at 26 and 25, having very good odds still to win the NBA championship. That's their pedigree, saying just get them to the playoffs, just get them into the playoffs and healthy at that time, and they should be able to settle up their damages then. Let's take a look at the game tonight, though. The Warriors and the Nuggets are going to play in elevation. And why is that key? Kevin, last night the Warriors were on the road and took a loss and went to overtime against Minnesota. Hence, you're seeing a favorite here for Denver, 12 and a half points, which leads us to believe who is actually going to be available for the Warriors tonight. Is this going to be a scheduled loss? Because the one thing we do know, A, the Warriors are bad on the road, and B, the Nuggets are sensational, and C, Nikola Jokic absolutely went off in his last game. Give me a good look tonight on the Warriors and the Nuggets.
Yeah, Jokic is now in a spot where his points, rebounds, and assist numbers are all above 10.5. He's plus 105 to record a triple-double. The numbers for Jokic are ridiculous. This, though, 11.5. Again, it's in Denver where they are 23-4. The Warriors are, of course, 7-19 on the road. Horrendous. It suggests a lot of key absences, which is going to then draw me to Jordan Poole, who on the season, in the 15 games that Steph Curry has missed, is averaging 28.1 points per game. I want to see what the Jordan Poole, because usually Poole doesn't miss the opportunity to go out there by himself, right, DRS? So I'll look for Poole props if this is going to be a schedule loss, as you phrase it.
And it's a shame, too, because, Kevin, how many times are we going to have the same conversation? If this game was not a back-to-back, you could have a centerpiece showcase. Look at the, you know, the reigning champions going up against the reigning MVP, and you might get a blowout by halftime here. It's a tough look by the NBA. Hopefully they can get that worked out. But let's keep it moving here. Bucks and the Clippers, superstar power all over the place. If we're looking for the futures market here at the FanDuel Sportsbook, the Milwaukee Bucks second in line just behind the Boston Celtics at a 6-1 price to win the NBA title. The Clippers here, so talented, but who knows who's going to be on the court night to night. But it looks like Kawhi certainly has found his legs again and is willing to be that number one scorer on the Clippers. They're currently a 15-1 price. Before getting into this game, give me some outlooks the Bucks and Clippers here for 2023.
So this, to me, look at that. Look, again, plus 600, 15-1. That is a big gap. And I just said that a plus 150 gap is part of the reason that I would prefer to take the Golden State Warriors over the Denver Nuggets. I don't care about the Clippers price at 15-1. Make it 50-1, the same number as the Lakers, then maybe I'll bet it. I don't have any reason to trust the Clippers to be healthy when we get to the playoffs. And then we can get to the playoffs, and I really don't have any reason to trust that they will stay healthy during that postseason run. I am not betting the Clippers really at any number unless they started hanging some silly numbers. And again, 40-51, I'm not betting them at this price this far out. I've done that before 2 years ago, and they went out there and they eliminated the Jazz without Kawhi Leonard. And then they pushed the Suns to six games without Kawhi Leonard. And for everybody else, the takeaway is, man, if they had Kawhi, they'd have won a title. They're going to win a title. And my takeaway is they didn't have Kawhi. So there's no reason for me to trust them. The Bucks have earned that trust. I'd rather be betting Milwaukee here on February 2nd.
Now, let's take a look at the game itself here. Now, granted, I'm usually looking around saying the Clippers are going to take on the Milwaukee Bucks. It's going to be Milwaukee. All right, let me settle in. Let me grab a six-pack of beer. Let me grab a pizza at 7 o'clock. Even DRS usually is still up at 7 o'clock. Ah, not at 7. It's not at 8. Or maybe it's at not even at 9 o'clock. I'm looking at the FanDuel Sportsbook right now. 10 o'clock Eastern start for Milwaukee in Milwaukee. Don't know how it gets that way, but that's the way it is, folks. A minus 4.5 price here for the Milwaukee Bucks and a healthy total of 231.5. What are we looking at from a Clippers-Bucks perspective tonight here in early February?
Yeah, you'd almost – I wouldn't blame anybody if they broke this game down thinking, man, Clippers are catching 4.5 in their own building with this ridiculous start time that you have checking in. You mentioned Kawhi, who's been unbelievable, averaging over almost 30 points per game over his last 11. But the point number that I'm looking for tonight is just the team of the Milwaukee Bucks. And riding the wave since Giannis has returned, they have scored 124-plus points in 4 of the 5 games. Their team total tonight is 117.5. And by the way, it's not just getting to 124. The 4 overs, okay? 150, 141, 135, and 124. Not bad. I know the Clippers got themselves a lot of talent, DRS, but I'm looking at that Bucks team total tonight.
All right, should be some fun there. Let's also keep it moving here. The Cavs and the Grizzlies here. If we're taking a look from a championship perspective out here, the Cavaliers 21-1 to cut down the Nets, and also the Memphis Grizzlies at 10-1. Now, I know we take that long approach, but my goodness, the Memphis Grizzlies, I believe, have lost 6 of their past 7 games. The Cleveland Cavaliers, who we got Donovan Mitchell, like, boy, he looks like he could be an MVP candidate, has really been struggling as of late. Talk to me about these two teams here and the chances that they could cut down Nets and be NBA champions.
Yeah, when you look again, you have yourself a very real gap between the sides. The Grizzlies are half the number of the Cleveland Cavaliers. 10-1 on Memphis, 21-1 on Cleveland. But I think you would agree, Donnie, there is a massive gap in the conferences right now. The Cavs are the 5th seed. In front of them, Boston, Milwaukee, Philly, Brooklyn. The Cavs would be underdogs to any of those teams, I think, even if they hosted the series, much less having to travel on the road as the 5. The Cavs right now are 3.5 games in front of being in the play-in. For reference, Memphis is 5.5 up on the 5 seed. The Grizzlies being 21-4 at home is just massive. This team is very likely going to land as the second or third overall seed, if not ultimately be the top spot in the Western Conference. The gap in conference right now, to me, is too big to go out there and grab Cleveland, even if that number is at 21-1, a significantly bigger price. I trust Memphis to go on a much deeper run. If the playoffs started today, Donnie, the Cavs would be an underdog in their opening series. Who cares that I'm getting value on 21-1?
Grizzlies, 32-19 on the season. Boy, there was a point there again. Looking back, I believe they had with 31-13, 11-15 on the road. The Cavaliers have handled their business in their own building at 21-6. They are a heavy favorite tonight here, listed at the FanDuel Sportsbook at a -6. And if we take a look at that total, 223.5. Give me a quick update tonight on what we can anticipate Grizzlies and Cavaliers.
So the interesting thing is, we talk about right schedule loss. Memphis played last night, lost that game to the Portland Trail Blazers. Damian Lillard was phenomenal. We have Ja Morant props. We have Jaren Jackson Jr. props. I thought that this 6, Donnie, suggested absentees for Memphis tonight. Now, is it maybe overvaluing the lack of rest for Memphis a little bit? They've really struggled in this spot as a road underdog, covering just 1 of 6 games. But if I'm getting full Memphis, again, usually a tough team that knows how to bounce back, a full 6 points here looks a little strong for a team in Cleveland, as you mentioned, not playing their best basketball right now, especially Donovan Mitchell, who maybe is not 100% since returning from that injury.
And also Donovan Mitchell here's prop here tonight. Points prop is a 25.5. Sooner or later, you expect him to get back to being Spider Mitchell, but right now it certainly hasn't been working out. But again, one of those chances on the back-to-backs. A lot to look forward tonight overall in these basketball games. And also, just to get your take one more time, because I'm sitting here right on the FanDuel Sportsbook, MVP odds, K-Dub. Are we looking for any changes coming up shortly? Any swings? Any guys holding it down? Or do you just want to yell at Nikola Jokic backers a little bit here?
I mean, listen, I'll let them have their fun. But look, tonight, I guess, another opportunity, right? He goes out there and embarrasses the backup Warriors, can find himself perhaps changing the number. I can't wait to see what the odds boosts are. NBA odds boosts, I believe, are 4 for 4 since Monday. We'll see what the FanDuel Sportsbook can provide for the people here on a Thursday night.
There you go. I'm going to close it down. I'm definitely closing it down. Listen up next. Centerpiece. Let's go.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, final segment of the day here for the early lines here at XM Channel 159, right here on the Sports Grid Network. Donnie Wrightside, Kevin Walsh is always powering through from 7 to 9 a.m. to make sure we set the table for the rest of your Sports Grid programming throughout the day, which does include coming up next, the morning after, and Ben Stevens. Make sure you hold on for that one. We covered a lot of topics today, switching the tape, and also, how many times during the past, I don't know, 20 weeks, it was all football all the time here. Sure, we're squeezing in Tom Brady today. Sure, we're taking a look at head coaching vacancies, but that slow swing over here to college basketball and the NBA futures market is a lot of fun to take a look at. But I have to tell you right now, you guys know me. I am a Philadelphia Eagles fan. I can't wait for Super Bowl 57 next Sunday. But that is next Sunday, not this weekend. Because why? Today is a Thursday. Is it monumental? No, not by any stretch. But the Pro Bowl games are here, people. Listen up. Wow, the excitement in the air tonight. No, it's not about getting ready for the Super Bowl. It's about getting ready for the Pro Bowl. And it's not just your average Pro Bowl, people. It's the Pro Bowl games that we can get excited for. It's so good that it actually is going to take place over a weekend starting today on a Thursday out in Las Vegas. Are you excited for this? The best catch competition. precision passing competition, the Thread the Needle Challenge, the Fastest Man Competition, which, by the way, that's something I actually might want to tune into, the Pro Bowl Dodgeball Challenge, the Gridiron Gauntlet Relay Race, and the Move the Chains Competition. So you figure, like, whoo, that sounds really interesting. Is that all you have to offer? No. It culminates on Sunday afternoon where Eli Manning is going to coach one game, one team. Peyton Manning's going to coach the other, and we're going to play 7-on-7. Incredible stuff, right? No, it's certainly not. My goodness, the Pro Bowl itself, and you know you've heard me over the past couple of days here. I was a champion for getting rid of the Pro Bowl. So what does the NFL do to me? Adds in the Pro Bowl games just so they make sure I watch and get even more angry as I wait for the Super Bowl. Stay tuned. Ben is up in the morning after. Pray be on.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here. And if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At ChumbaCasino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.